All right, if you get a group of women together in New York City, or I bet in any city, Rachel, are you with me on this one? There's a chance that someone has a story about some guy
Totally.
exposing himself in the subway or in a park, right?
Yep, definitely.
You know this has happened.
It's not a pretty part of urban life, but it
Yeah,
happens.
but when you live in a nice Georgia suburb, Gwinnett County to be exact, and you're in your own backyard picking okra out of your garden, you really don't expect to see a flasher. But that's what happened to this woman named Sarah Chenikin when a man got out of his van, stark naked, and started walking toward her while touching himself. Local police think he's a serial flasher who's shown himself to at least 16 other women in the last 2 years. He's still out there, and the authorities are not amused. Now, we did a little bit of digging on this subject and found out that exhibitionism is one of the three most common sexual offenses on police records, right up there with voyeurism and pedophilia. Now, the recidivism rate pretty high. Almost half of the men arrested for this are rearrested for the same thing within 2 years. It's kind of scary. It's weird. People kind of joke about flashers, but it's a serious
It's a
issue.
really serious issue, and it's not very fun when you encounter them.
No doubt. We wanted to talk to somebody about it. Alex Ufik is a forensic psychologist who works with sex offenders and spent a year working with a patient diagnosed as an exhibitionist. Thanks for being with us, Alex.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So exhibitionism is grouped with other, I think it's called paraphilias. Am I saying it
That's
right?
correct. Paraphilia,
Now, that's a
exactly.
deviant sexual behavior like pedophilia or sadism. So where does exhibitionism fit in with these more dangerous sexual perversions like pedophilia?
Well, generally, exhibitionists do not engage in other kinds of behavior that we would consider dangerous. So they're kind of a no-hands-on kind of an offense. So the person will expose themselves or expose their genitals to the opposite sex and kind of leave it at that. So it's not considered as dangerous as other things, for example, as pedophilia, which is oftentimes acted out, which is, of course, when you have an abnormal attraction to children and engage in sexual behavior with children.
Now, is it a crime of opportunity or is it premeditated?
It's very difficult to say because each case is different. Some people will take extraordinary pains to prepare for the act and actually will find a particular target. And other times they will really expose themselves to the first person available.
Now, do they understand that what they're doing is wrong? Is there an awareness?
Again, it's a case-by-case scenario. But generally, the idea that the desire to expose yourself, it is a kind of a crime of power if you're looking at strictly from a criminal justice perspective. That is, a person feels a sense of power over the opposite sex by shocking them by exposing that kind of by exposing their genitals. And that look of shock and consternation and kind of despair that the other person sees on the opposite sex does give that person a feeling of power, which is typically accompanying kind of a sexually arousing fantasy. Now, for some people, that kind of fantasy is the only way that they're able to achieve any kind of a sexual satisfaction. For others, it's only kind of intermittent sexual fantasy, which they need from time to time. So it really depends.
Let's talk about this Georgia flasher. The witnesses have described him as a white male between the ages of 20 and 40. Is that a profile of an exhibitionist? Is there one?
That's probably as close as a profile as you're going to get, because the majority, I would say this is almost exclusively a crime that is committed by men, and men under 40. There are some stats that indicate that arrests of men over 40, are very, very rare, and they just kind of come down, and you can make your own conclusions about that, what happens to men after 40. But primarily, it is a crime that is committed by men in their younger years between 20 and 40. In terms of demographics, really, it doesn't really have a particular pattern because it affects people that are well-educated. It affects people that are poorly educated. However, recidivism is attached to people that are of lower educational value, that have lower education, and that do accompany other kinds of criminal acts. So if you have two of those things together, for example, if it's accompanied with, say, an assault, then the recidivism rate does go up again, and also if it is untreated. So people that do receive some form of treatment, the recidivism rate does go down. But that's as close as of a pattern as you're going to guess.
Alex, what are you supposed to do if you encounter a flasher, if you're the victim of this kind of situation? You say there's a power dynamic. If you look shocked, that's what they want you to do, but you can't really prevent that, I suppose. What are you supposed to
You
do?
really can't. I think probably the first thing that a person should realize is that the person who's doing that, he's doing that to gain a sense of power, but he's doing that because of really significant and profound insecurity that they themselves feel. So they are not coming from a place of power. They are trying to reestablish that. And oftentimes, and this is not, of course, all the time, but from sort of as a general rule, that these kind of people have felt that throughout their lives they haven't been able to make very much of an impact on others around them. They feel kind of powerless. And generally speaking, they are not dangerous. So, of course, I think the first thing you should do is try to leave the situation, of course, and contact the authorities right away and describe the person in as much detail as you can and see if you can bring this person to justice.
And get them help, I'm guessing, as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because most of the time, I would probably say the majority of the cases, people like this do not seek help on their own, and they're really the only time they ever seek help is when they are faced with a criminal justice proceeding.
Forensic psychologist Alex Ufek, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.